Welcome to the official podcast of PHP Architect. Join us to listen to the latest news and tech talk from our conferences, the magazine, and wider PHP community.
I got my little, well, fuck it, I'm going to take some gummies and do this myself hat on. So now that you're here, I got to get my professional hat on now. God damn it. I don't know. You just ruined it. You just ruined it for everybody.
I guess. Sorry, everyone. It's all my fault.
How do we fix this? You see, you bastard, not that. I want to fix this guy here. This is what I want. Okay, so this was going to be a very interesting podcast for those who normally watch this podcast. That's too far. Why are you so small, Joe?
Why am I so small? I don't know.
I don't know how to make you bigger.
Oh, yeah, I see. Is that just weird. the scene? How the scene's laid out?
Yeah, I guess so. I should have had you come in sooner to do this. Okay, so new intro, new scene setup in general. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Still messing with it a little bit. Obviously, John looks a little different. Lost some hair, grew some beard, but no. John is unavailable at this moment. But we decided to move forward. Thankfully, Joe was able to jump on at the last second, and I do appreciate Joe. Thanks for popping on.
Absolutely.
Let me see if I can make you bigger. What if I can on this one?
Oh, that's better.
That's better. This is small, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. We'll chat was small.
We don't need chat. I was about to have chat join us. Hey, Duck Nizzle. I hope you appreciate the fact that I kept you in the opening scenes, the opening montage there. That's what we should do, where I'm scrolling through the images. We should try to like do that whole take a picture in PHP Architect swag and get it going. Put that in there. And there's John. John's in our Discord. Who knows what he's up to. But we're just going to move forward. Joe, how have you been, buddy? I feel like I actually talk to you more now these days than I talk to John. What have you been up to?
I've been up to, I don't know, a lot, I guess. Mostly like client stuff. Like we talked about last week, I did the big Elastic Beanstalk environment flip for one of our clients, and nobody noticed, which was perfect.
That's the way you like to do it, right?
Yeah. And speaking of nobody noticing, Frank just did a thing where he was going to roll some database updates, and then Frank deleted the wrong database. I'm going to throw Frank right under the bus, right out of the gate here. So Frank
was like, "Hey." Yeah,
Frank's like, "Hey, I'm going to go update this database over here." And then 2 minutes later, I see a message and Frank's like, "Crap, I deleted the wrong database." It wasn't production, which is important. He would have been a lot louder, and I probably wouldn't have been here if it was production that he deleted.
You know, we've done that before too. I think the same client, we've started bringing down their production database, and fortunately we had the moment in time recovery of AWS's RDS service, which is, god damn it, one of the best features.
Yeah. At a previous job, the DigitalOcean point in time recovery for their managed databases saved my bacon so many times because I was just doing wild stuff with my cowboy hat on, you know, as you do.
That's the way you do it, baby.
But yeah, so I've been doing lots of client work and then lots of like PHP work too. It's announced, so we can talk about it. Do you have something you want to talk about for this new podcast? Or
no. I mean, I don't have anything in particular. I do have a screen up for it.
I didn't want to like steal your thunder or anything.
No. You're fine. I don't know what I did with my browser. Here it is, right here. Boom, baby.
Yeah. So we're starting another podcast.
Yeah,
which is going to be right here on the same channel. So as you're tuning into this podcast, it's the same channel, same place. It is going to be an earlier time. So it is not going to be this time slot. It is going to be an earlier time slot. I think it's looking like it's going to be around 11:15 most often, 11:15 central, which is going to be 9:15.
11:15, not 11 o'clock or 11:30, 11:15.
I blame the first guest. I'm not going to ruin who that is. I think
that is a tight window.
It is a tight window. We were given tight windows on availability for the first guest, so I blame that mostly. And the arbitrary
The audio listeners, Joe is talking about the new PHP Foundation Community Hour podcast. I almost said Community Corner. Community Hour podcast, which will be a live stream podcast that gives PHP developers, and I guess anybody interested, the opportunity to talk with people behind the PHP Foundation, ask questions, kind of the same principles. You guys are going to use Discord, but you're going to use the PHPC Discord, correct, Joe?
I don't know that we've made that decision. We may just roll with the PHP Arch one just because it's already there and set up. So yeah, the big focus that they're going to do, it's going to be hosted by Elizabeth Barron. And so the focus of the whole show is going to be how to contribute to PHP. And they're starting with Matt Soffer, who just had the fantastic blog post on the foundation on contributing to PHP. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And if you're interested in getting started with PHP, that is a fantastic post on the foundation website. And Matt's going to be the first guest. And that is, we're going to be recording that on September 10th, which is next week, I believe. And then we're going to be doing, so the plan is we're going to be doing one of those a month. And then the weeks that Eric and John aren't on the podcast, it will be the Joe, Holly, and Sarah show. And then one week out of the month will be the Foundation Community Hour. And then we'll go from there. Maybe we'll start another podcast. Who knows?
So you said it's going to be all about contributing to PHP, but is that just that first episode, or is that the theme for the whole series?
I think it's the whole series. We may break it apart into seasons. I'm not sure. The first handful of guests that I've seen confirm so far is exactly, you know, you look at the foundation page, you look at the people who are working on PHP. It's like, oh yeah, that makes total sense. I don't want to ruin anything or spoil anything, but yeah, it's like, The people that they're going to have on should trigger some really good conversations and some really good questions on how to contribute, specifically because you don't see these people necessarily always at conferences. Like you'll definitely see them at conferences because they're also conference speakers and they submit a lot of talks to the conferences around the world. So you'll recognize some of these as well. So I think it's a great view or a great plan. And yeah, hopefully it'll get more people to contribute to PHP.
It's going to be great to get some of the PHP Foundation voices out there because it's still kind of this, I think we have a little bit more of an inside track on it, but I think for the larger PHP community, it's still kind of this mysterious sort of group of people who get together and decide the fate of PHP.
And they don't really, right? that's what people think is right. That's what they conflate that internals is the foundation, and it is definitely not. The foundation pays people to work on internals, which is fantastic.
And that's the whole principle behind it, right? They realize PHP is a very old open source product, open source project that companies, multi-million, billion-dollar companies, have built their entire ecosystems around, and they have done very little to contribute back downstream to the people who have made that language possible. And I think PHP kind of got together and came to the realization, hey, this is a problem. Like, we are not a bunch of young developers anymore who can code for 20 hours out of the day, and yeah, we need to get some structure around it. I think we saw that a few years back when the release cadence got more regular and insistent. And for those who don't know, Joe here is the release manager of the next version of PHP, 8.6.
8.6, beta, yeah. Beta 3 is next week.
Yeah. And so the PHP Foundation is just the next evolution of that, of saying, okay, let's put together an organization where we can get money, but have people contribute money, including a lot of these companies. And we can then distribute it out to the people who do development. And it's not like, hey, we have this much money that we have 5,000 developers, everybody gets 40 cents. You know, there's a whole process where you have to apply to get compensated and how that works. That's all the PHP Foundation side. But that's kind of their role. And to Joe's point, they are not steering the internals of PHP. They're just making sure the internals of PHP, those gears, can keep moving. So I'm really appreciative of the work they're doing. Speaking of turnover, they just had some turnover, didn't they? New foundation board.
Yeah, for JetBrains. This is just kind of an evolution of Roman did so much to get the foundation off the ground. So I think he's just stepping back as what it was is his term expired or his term ended.
Mm-hmm.
So so it was just him. He's just rotating off the board, and Brent Roos is joining. And I mean, you couldn't pick a better representative for JetBrains. I mean, so yeah, with the amount of reach Brent has with his blog and the content he's pushing out on different channels for PHP is fantastic. So
yeah. So yeah, so that'll be here on the PHP Architect stream. We do hear you. I have heard some people say, hey, is there any way I can subscribe to a particular stream today? No. Tomorrow? Yes. We're working on that evolution. So be patient with us. We promise you, we do actually have to make money from time to time to be able
that
to
afford that pesky thing of stuff. Making money.
Yeah, we don't have any foundation behind us. We actually have to grind for our work.
We have the foundation of Eric and John.
It's clients. It's the foundation of clients, of us begging clients to keep paying us.
Last thing on podcast, Scott Keck Warren published yesterday the Community Corner podcast that he had. Ian Littman was his guest talking about Longhorn PHP 2026, which is upcoming. So definitely worth a listen. Go check that out.
Yeah, for sure. Let me share that real fast. You talk too fast, man. I'm having trouble figuring out my scenes now too, because they're not quite laid out as well as I thought they were. I think I need to move this guy up, actually. Bring this guy up maybe here. Put that guy there. Longhorn PHP is coming up here October 15th through the 16th. Good little community conference. Is it the only community conference out there besides ours?
Elena Holligan still is doing
Cascadia,
but I don't think they've done it the past 2 years. So I don't know if they're...
They had done it once, and I was wrongfully under the impression that I thought they were going to go back and forth with Longhorn, because the year they did it, Longhorn didn't.
That was an original agreement, and I'm not sure what changed to where Longhorn's just... Maybe they're not doing Cascadia, so Longhorn's like, okay, well, we'll just fill the gap.
Maybe.
Longhorn's really great.
It's a lot of work to put on a conference.
We were both there last year at Longhorn. It's a great conference.
Yeah. It's a lot of work to put on a conference. And so, trust me, we know that firsthand. And, we do appreciate people like Ian and his team who puts on a pretty good conference every year as well. So we didn't really get into it too much in the intro. It was kind of a real quick moving things around. Eric Mann says, I was sick for Cascadia looking for... Oh, yeah, I remember that, actually. I remember you being sick. I think somebody... Yeah, didn't somebody step in to talk for him or something? I forget.
Possibly.
I remember that. And I enjoy going to these different conferences now that I'm in a position where I could do it. But... because I just like going to like these places that I would never just go, like Portland. Like, I've always wanted to go to Portland, but I can never come up with a good enough excuse to go.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, conference, sure. You know, it's great.
This year, I went to
Boston with Larry. Like, I would never, I always wanted to go to to Boston. It's not like I've been avoiding it. I just, you know, when you travel, traveling's expensive, man. You've got to really be,
especially going for you going west coast to east coast. That's a haul.
Yeah, you can't. It's a little bit more of just jumping in the car and just driving for a few hours. So yeah, it was fun. We're PHP Architect. We do have a magazine we publish every month for anybody who might be interested. We do appreciate subscriptions. If you're looking for a way to support this podcast or support our team just by saying a thank you, subscribe to the magazine. We have digital and print. It's not a crazy amount of money. We're trying to make it cheaper. John and I have been working really hard to lower the costs. And I was hoping to have John on here because we had this conversation quickly last week with you, Joe, where I believe John has opened up the either the 2021-2022 years. So here's the thing. Let me lay this on the table. If you have a current subscription that you're paying for, you automatically get the entire catalog of magazines from the beginning of time of PHP Architect unlocked in your account. So if you subscribe today, you get the last whatever many years, 20 years or whatever many years it's been.
Yeah, we went back on the last week's show. We went back and found the first one. It was for version PHP version 4.3 is what it covered.
That's remember that because I remember when it came out. I was working at a company. I was getting, and I had just gotten into PHP right when, so I got into PHP like right when 4 got released, and I was just starving for like knowledge because it was hard to find knowledge back then, right? I mean, you had to buy these O'Reilly books, right? There wasn't YouTube or anything. And I saw the magazine. I went to my manager. I'm like, hey, this company has this magazine. Can I get it? And you know, they had a educational budget. Like, yeah, sure. I'll sign you up for it. And so like I got on and back then it was only print. Like that's the only way you got to consume. I mean, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. The only way I remember consuming it was through print. And it was interesting. So
yeah, December 2002 was that episode. Was that first issue?
2002. Man, I had just started working there too. That was crazy because I got into 4 before I entered into that realm. That was my first IT gig, right? My first, it was my manager was my buddy I played baseball with who kept encouraging me. He's like, hey, man, just come and do this for a living. I actually had really liked my job at the time. It wasn't a job I ever had planned on landing. I wanted to do computers. I studied computer science in college, but my college didn't have, like, it wasn't an internet thing. Like, it wasn't a thing back then, right? You know, it was very boring, you know, COBOL, you know, hope you can find a job at a bank sort of institution. And, you know, I told my wife, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it was fun for a while, but this is no longer fun for me. And so I had actually walked away from computers and gotten into like water purification and chemistry and everything and really enjoyed it. But he talked me into it, and yeah, the rest is history. And he was very open to the idea of PHP, but that's another story for another day. Dude, that was crazy. So anyways, back to what we were talking about. Man, I went way off course. John released something. So if you don't have an active subscription to the magazine, but you have an account, log in and go to magazines and see what you have access to, because I believe you should have at very least 2021 and 2022, or is it 2020, 2021? I forget. 2 years, right when John and I first took over the magazine. It was kind of here's how we've progressed since, you know, we took over sort of thing. So let me know what you see.
I see everything. But I have a subscription.
You have an active subscription.
Yeah, I have an active subscription. So, yeah, for those that don't. Yeah.
So we're trying to release more. Hopefully we can, we have some ideas and we're working on some ideas. We're trying to make it affordable for everybody. But again, if you want to say thanks to us, that's the way to do it. Subscribe to the magazine. And that money goes out to, all the money we make for the magazine so far pretty much goes out to the people who contribute to the magazine, because we pay for people to contribute. So if you want to write a feature article for us, reach out to us, let us know. Here's John. If that's what Eric wanted, John,
apparently it's all before 2022.
It was all before. That's what I'm saying. Like, I think John made everything available. So if you have any account on the system, you now have access to the magazines up until 2022. And we're kind of chipping away at that more. But yeah, so if you want to contribute to the magazine, we do pay everybody you know, who wants to contribute. And we have regular columnists. We have a good kind of group of regular columnists now, so we don't really have room for more columns, but keep
it's
an eye out.
It's a fantastic problem to have.
Yeah, it really is. And these are hard. I mean, everybody thinks they want to do that until you have to come up with 12 columns a year. It's like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you have like a real job and you work for a living, yeah, it starts to be a lot after a while.
I think my number ended up being 73 articles I wrote.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what we should do. We should go through and see who's been the biggest contributor. I bet you it's Edward Bernard. That guy
I was going to say Ed.
he seems like he's been contributing like forever.
Eric's and
he does, there. He Eric does huge there too. Columns too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So interesting stuff. That's how you can help us. But we're also a consulting group. That's the one thing that's what started this whole conversation. We're a consulting group. We augment teams. We can be a full team. You can pull us in to bounce ideas off us, to have us evaluate your systems. I mean, you can have Joe come in and tell you why everything you're doing is wrong. He's pretty good with that. And PHP Architect, consulting, conferences, magazines, books, the whole shoot and match. So let's do that. I'm tired, Joe. I got something I want to talk to you. You know what? Before I go on, let's, speaking of making some money, let's say, give our people at Discord, this place, a big thank you. This is Eric Mann in commenting on YouTube right now. But if you're in a Discord, you can actually talk to Eric Mann. This is his company here. So make sure you show him some love as well.
Thank you to our partners over at Displace Technologies. Building PHP applications is your passion. Managing cloud infrastructure shouldn't be your headache. Displace is your partner in cloud infrastructure orchestration, giving solo developers and small teams the tools and automation to deploy enterprise-grade Kubernetes clusters without the enterprise-grade complexity or cost. Their CLI tool streamlines everything from local development to fully managed cloud deployments on AWS, Azure, Google Cloud Platform, and more. Skip the steep learning curve of Docker, Kubernetes, and Terraform. Let their automation free you to focus on your core business without losing control of your infrastructure. Get started at displace.tech. That's displace.tech. And discover how the right tools can eliminate the need for a full DevOps team.
Thanks, Displace. Appreciate that. Okay. First off, actually, I got a question for you. I'm going to put you on the spot, Joe, since you're here. Since you give me enough heartburn during the week, let me give you a little heartburn.
Oh, dear.
What do you think, like, our role as PHP architect, or even your role as a developer, what do you think that looks like now moving forward? With AI being what it is.
Jeez, I didn't realize that you were inviting me on to have my review on the show. My annual review, everyone. I'm about to get a
pick. Dude, you've been with us for almost 2 years now, right?
Yeah, it's like a year and a half. It was a year and a half a couple weeks ago. So yeah. So like what, in the context of what, like of AI ruining the world? Of
yeah, I'm of, I mean, a context I think we're used to adapting to new tools, right? I remember like IDEs. Well, I remember like, what was it? Dreamweaver back in the day. It was crazy.
I was a big Dreamweaver user.
Oh, God. I cranked out the code in Dreamweaver and it was all horrible.
I was so good at tables because I could just hit a button and see it in Dreamweaver. And Dreamweaver was the only
tool. That's the only reason I purchased Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
Was to absolutely be able to see the tables. Yeah. But I think AI kind of changes that landscape a little bit. Now I've shared my opinion. Like, I still think AI is a tool for us, for developers. We're the ones that know how to use it correctly. But, you know, clearly we have people who aren't developers who are trying to build things. And, you know, every now and then you hear about this unicorn person who, you know, built a $300,000 company, you know, through AI. Where do you stand?
I, I like AI. I like it in what it allows me to do, and what it, as a developer, it allows me to move very quickly and iterate very quickly, and it allows me from a debugging perspective to have much more powerful and quick debugging sessions, because what I have found is Claude is very, very good at parsing logs and finding anomalies. You can take a however big log file from an application or a web server, and you can say, Claude, go look at this. Tell me what looks out of place. Tell me what, give me the top 10 requests that are failing in, or 404ing or 500 or whatever. Okay, there we go. Everything good?
Yeah, I got somebody calling me. I said, Steve, okay. I'm muted okay. Real quick.
So what I think our role is to guide what our clients are going to need and see, and leverage AI, the AI tooling for our clients, those clients that want to use the AI. So far, we haven't had any pushback about AI from our clients. Mm-hmm. We even had one of our clients say, you're using AI, right? Because we think this is a valuable tool. And we were like, yeah, and actually here's how we're using it. And the client was super happy about it. So I think for us, for our clients, it's to guide their decisions in how they want to implement something, if they want to build like an AI feature, or how they, or even just, you know, showing them what we're doing and how we're experimenting with the tooling and how that relates to how that provides value to them. One of the things I do for our clients is I go through the AWS bill. And next month, I'll have a full year of doing doing full reviews of the AI of the AWS bill using Claude to say, all right, create this document. This is what I want the document to say. And then I have Claude create the document. And then I say, okay, Claude, go and take this document, read it, and then check all the math based on the export, the invoices, and check mm-hmm. all the math. And it always comes up and says, oh, yep, I found these things. And it'll show me. Like this past month, we've been in one of our really big selling seasons for this client, and they're generating a lot of traffic. We have a lot of usage, and Claude's like, hey, this corresponds to one of these selling seasons that you had months ago. Is mm-hmm. this traffic patterns look similar? So being able to show that to the client and give that to the client and be able to show, hey, here's the big bullet points of this month in AWS and how much we spent and how we could do better, how we could spend less, and how we're optimizing that spend. And that's just one of those things where I get to do that because I do more ops and DevOps stuff, not necessarily development, but from a development standpoint, it has helped me navigate really, really large old legacy code bases where I'm not necessarily in that code base every day, but I can leverage something like a code review bot, like from CodeRabbit potentially, and leverage that and do a code review for Frank. And it could be something deep, deep within some old domain knowledge that I just don't have any context of, but maybe my Claude run will pick something up that his Claude didn't. And often cases, Frank and I will go back and forth on something that's really complicated and we'll go, all right, my Claude said this, what does your Claude say? And it's not, we're not slopping back and forth, right? We're actually condensing what Claude is giving us and narrowing it down, trying to narrow the focus and say, okay, now reevaluate. And then I get the output from that. I coalesce it down. I distill it back down again, me, myself, the human. And then I send that to Frank. And I'm like, Frank, this sounds reasonable. I don't know what all these words mean in this syntax or this formatting, but this seems logical. And we've been able to catch some really pretty ridiculous bugs that way. And I think what also has allowed us to do is it's allowed us to shorten some of our investigation time for our clients, because Claude's like, oh, you have this issue? Well, you're an idiot. Look at your code. It's right there. Why didn't you see that? And it's like, it's a lot nicer than that, but it's one of those things where I think that is an important thing. It's an important tool to have. And I wish it didn't feel like we had to use AI. I feel like we really, really are force-fed this AI tool. And then if we don't use it, we're going to get left behind, or we're going to get, like, back in the day when CSS became a thing and then the CSS framework started becoming a thing, I felt like I had to learn that, right? Stay relevant as a web developer, I had to learn CSS. But when all these JavaScript frameworks came out, I felt less that I had to go learn all those frameworks because I wasn't necessarily using those in my tool set. But as long as I had like a cursory understanding of what problems they solved, that felt really good. But AI doesn't feel like that. AI feels like if I don't use this, I'm going to get replaced. You know, I'm going to be in an unfortunate situation where the client, where maybe I lose my job because I'm outsourced and somebody replaces me with a bunch of Claude agents and a trench coat. And that's really troubling. And we've seen that happen in companies adjacent to us. So I have all these ethical and environmental concerns about AI. I live in a city that has an AI data center, and they're being accused almost every day of doing things they shouldn't be doing. They're polluting the environment. They're doing all these things. And even the local news is getting involved. And that's kind of scary. And it's like, I wish that this was more of a developer thing, a developer-led innovation, rather than the companies with just the biggest piles of cash to burn, because that's literally what they're doing. And the impact is so negative on not only our industry, but like the technology industry. You can't buy RAM. RAM increased 500%, 500%. It's ridiculous. Yeah. I saw a thing today that Xbox or one of the game companies is paying 400% more per RAM. Or no, it was I think iPhone. There was a report saying that Apple is paying 400% more for iPhone RAM than they'd have previously. And that cost is going to get sent right back down to the people buying these devices. It has to be.
It always does. Yeah. And I mean, I tell people this all the time, like crypto, right? I think crypto was such a good solution, still is a good solution, but the public got their hands on it too early. And the public started using it incorrectly. They saw it as an investment. They started, you know, meme coins. Like, but the core concept around cryptocurrency is still, I feel, to this day, valid and is the direction we should be moving in. And we're unfortunately getting into this area now where the public got involved, they fucked around, too many people have been taken advantage of. Now governments want to get involved, create, you know, policies around it and laws around it, and that's where it starts to go out of hand. I feel the same way about AI. Like AI is a great tool. We've used it to our advantage many times. But it's been released to the masses too soon, and it's going to hurt people. It's going to hurt companies. People are going to lose money. But like I've talked about it on the show, I don't know how much detail I went into, but we have a very old project we had started with one of our bigger clients that got shelved years ago. And it was a personal passion project of mine that I wanted to get out the door, and I wasn't able to. So they wanted to get it going again. I, by myself, this was a huge project, by the way. We had a dedicated team of 4 developers working on it full-time and the rest of our team working on it part-time. So it was a massive undertaking. I, by myself, with Claude, was able to update it, get it current with the current version of Laravel. So it had been shelved for since COVID, so however long that was, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So that's when it got shelved. I got everything up to speed. We take it to them, I'm like, hey, listen, we got the code base up to speed. If you guys want to pick this project back up, now it's the time to do it, because this was, you know, for them. And the financial people got involved, and they're like, well, let's go ahead and let's get working on it. And I'm as the manager of the IT department, basically, I had the unfortunate position of saying, well, listen, you understand this is going to take some time, right? I'm like, well, I don't understand. I mean, you know, this guy over here just finished their project, so they can work on it. I'm like, but we had 4 people working on it before. And there was a lot of back and forth like that. And so the owner reached out to me. He says, hey, we have all these tickets in our ticketing system for this project. Can you ask Claude to go through all this and just start doing some, you know, estimation on effort? And we did it. And it came back with like 3 years of development work. And I'm like, yeah, baby. I love it.
Job security.
Yeah, so that was really beneficial. And to even flip that script even further, so that's still something going on. But it was nice how we were able to use Claude to not only bring the Legacy app back up to speed, but also use it to say, okay, now you want to get to here. And I'm telling you it's going to take this much effort, but you don't want to believe that. So let's have the computer tell you how much effort it's going to take. And it, you know, it actually projected longer than I was. So it was nice. But
how were those estimates? Were they accurate? Were they good?
They were. So I'm going to tell you, they were good with a caveat. And I've had conversations with people on this particular topic. Because I'm like, I feel like it was a valid estimate, especially if you're thinking one developer. Like, it would definitely take one developer many years to complete this project. And then, you know, you start breaking that down with more developers. And if you've been in this industry long enough, you know that two developers doesn't cut the time in half, right? It's just, you know, there's a factor of what it reduces. But my question was, is Claude taking consideration Claude? Like, is it taking consideration these developers would be working with AI? And I've gotten different feedback on it. The one that people consistently seem to tell me is no. It's assuming a regular person is doing this work. Other people say it's kind of making the assumption that AI will be used, but sparingly. Which is the
answer. I guess how would you quantify you have your team's velocity. You roughly know what the team's velocity is in terms of some metric, however close to Agile you follow, you have some metric of velocity. And Claude probably doesn't understand what velocity would what impact AI would have on velocity, because I think there's too many unknowns, because a junior developer with AI is going to churn out terrible things. Right. Even with the best AI, the unskilled person is going to turn out trash that's going to have to be refactored or iterated on. That's fine. Right. If that's the goal is to skill up your juniors, then that's fine. Give them the tools, but give them the guardrails. And that's what we keep talking about internally is with our people, is talking about guardrails and what guardrails we're putting in place and what we're using in terms of protecting ourselves from and trying to protect our time too. It's not just the cost of AI or the cost of tokens or anything like that, but it's our time. You know, if AI sends us on a 5-hour wild goose chase, that's 5 hours we lost.
Right. And not now, I mean, you get paid for the 5 hours. We have to pay for 5 hours worth of tokens that Claude just, you know, consumed. And we're still at, you know, zero, essentially, or could be potentially.
We haven't solved the problem.
Right. So, yeah. And then to kind of flip that approach, it just so happens to be this accounting department who, you know, wanted to quantify how much money in development was going to be required. This accounting department has a specific has challenges, right, with how they're trying to track just everything in the business. It's a pretty big business. So they have a bunch of very complex spreadsheets and stuff out there. And it's been a pain point of mine. Every time I hear them talk about it, I'm like, why is this your solution? You know? And again, the owner kind of the same way. He's like, why? Yeah, he comes to me all the time. He's like, Eric, why can't we just do this, you know, through the interface? So we had a big conversation about it the other day, and Todd's like, what do you need? I just said, the owner is like, what do you need? What do you need from our team to move forward with this? And I thought about Holly, who you podcast with. Holly had a great talk at Tech this year about spec driven development. Actually, I don't know even if that was what the talk was, but I've talked to Holly about spec driven development. And I'm like, you know what we need? We need spec. We need a spec from the accounting departments of exactly what they're trying to accomplish and how they accomplish it. Like, I need to know the numbers they want and how they get to those numbers. And I told him, I'm like, I'll feed that into AI and we will start with that. Because because I'm not an accountant. And every time they come to me and they're like, hey, we need to solve this, I'm like, okay, well, you know, give me these numbers. And they're like, well, it's not that simple. It's just giving you these numbers. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not.
Why isn't it though? Why isn't it though? Let's solve that problem.
He's like, I can either teach you, you can teach me how to account, or I can teach you VI, Vim, and you can code it. I don't know. You decide, because it probably equally as difficult at this point.
And see, that's the use case where your owner may go and say, "Oh, well, let me take a stab at that at this with Claude and come up with something that might work, but it might also like throw all the results on a public S3 bucket that's wide open to the internet, and you just." Leaks all of the information, right? That's the kind of thing that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, even skilled developers will leave an S3 bucket open. I mean, that's you know, there's a certain amount of shit happens that you have to account for. And when you bring in AI with somebody who isn't a normal day-to-day developer, there's so much that can go wrong because the AI is so confident in its answers. Of course, why wouldn't it be? It's just
right.
It's confidence and its word guessing is just it's unparalleled.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all been fun. Okay, I got something I want. You guys talked about last week on the show, and I actually had to step out. And I got questions I want to talk to you about. But before I get to that, another word from our sponsor. No, I'm joking. We don't have any more sponsors. What are you talking about? What am I sharing here? I am still sharing this. Did you see? It's funny. We have an internal Slack and we have Discord. Our teams are in both of them. So a lot of times things talked about in Slack will show up in Discord and vice versa. But this actually showed up in our Discord by another means. There's a Reddit post. Let me share it. I'm selling my 37 plus elephant collection, and that's elephant, ELEPHPANT. So they're selling the elephant collection. Now, this isn't unusual. We've talked about it in the past. There's actually sites out there where people can trade elephants, but this person isn't looking to trade. They're looking to offload. And I'm like, oh, that's cute. I wonder what they're asking for. They're asking for a lot of money, man.
So three things. First mm-hmm. thing, he is doing this to fund his startup. The second thing is to help offset some of the costs for some open heart surgery he's going to have.
Oh my God, I did not see that part.
And thirdly, I feel like the PHP tech elephants are wildly undervalued compared to the other ones. Maybe I'm biased.
I do agree with that. I was happy to see him on the list. I was happy to see he had them. But
if you want an OG Archie, like an OG, like the very first PHP Archie orange elephant, he has one of those on there and you can get it for under $100 last I checked.
Oh,
and like there's several in there that are very hard to find and a lot of them that are probably hard to get. But yeah,
this is the one. Check this out. Ugh. I stole this one from Sarah. She gave me a big Elvis.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, right? I got a big Elvis. Maybe I need to get him a little brother or something. Yeah, there's the 2025 tech for $65. Yeah, this is on eBay, so you know how it is. These are buy it now prices, but yeah. Is this the original?
Yeah, I think that's the original.
I don't think so. No, that's not PHP Architect.
No, that's not the PHP Architect one. There is an original PHP Architect.
There's some good ones on here though, and that's the crazy thing about it. Like if you go to these conventions, this is like a whole subculture of PHP. These plushies out there, man. There's so much fun to play. Well, oh, here's 2024. Here's a woman. I got a big woman right behind me as well. Yeah, these are cool, man. Here's the original. 2015. Yeah, this is the...
Yeah, that was the first one.
Yeah. See, they even got the logo there, too. I might have to buy this one. I don't know if I have an original. Oh, yeah, I do. I have an original. Yeah, so I don't know. If you want to help a fellow PHP developer out, give this a look. Fun stuff. I hope he is able. I know he had. I think he had the big elephant or the big Elvis. Like I remember when I looked at it the first time, the first elephant was like expensive. Here, let's say high to low.
I guess it's possible somebody's bought them, and if they bought them with the auction still show, maybe so. I don't need that very much.
Yeah, they must have. This is the one I want. This Star Trek one.
Yeah, the Star Trek ones.
yeah, John got that. John got that at doing a trade at Longhorn 1 year. I'm like, damn it, I want that. I want that
nice elephant.
I got a lot of these, so yeah. So that's fun. Get out there and you know, if this sort of thing excites you, go do it. Okay, what I want to talk to you about. I'm gonna tell you because I heard you guys talk about type PHP. Okay, I'm not sure what your thoughts are on it. I'll run through it real fast on where I stand, and then maybe we can have a conversation. If you're not aware, TypePHP is something that was released by the people who are behind Swool, which is a great product out there. It's AOT, ahead of time compiler. I feel like they just made that up. Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing. It's a real thing.
That translates PHP source code into C++ and then into native machine code. So you can imagine what this does for like performance and everything else. On the surface, so it's basically making PHP like a compiled language. Right? There are plenty of compiled languages out there. This is not unusual, but it's pretty unusual for a web language like PHP, a scripting language like PHP. So on the surface, I like the idea. This is something I'd want to do for a long time. I remember back in the day, again, PHP 4 days, wanting to write code that I could just distribute out to other admins that they didn't have to look at the code or run in any certain way. It was just something on their system that they ran, right? And that was kind of where I was with it. Now, my issue with this particular thing, first thing, PHP has come a long way since then. And one of the things the compiler does a lot is it finds issues in the code base before it compiles it, right? So it won't compile bad code in theory is what it is. Doesn't mean you don't have bugs, but if there's something obviously broken, it won't compile. And I feel like that is no longer such a big deal, right? Like the testing culture in PHP has gotten to the point where it's so regular to have it. Linting, a lot of things like PHP Stan is there to find a lot of stuff. So it's like, that would have been really cool to have 20 years ago, but less cool now. So let's talk about the actual compiled scenario of it. And if my understanding of this is wrong, let me know, because it wouldn't be the first time. Okay. But you see everybody talking about type PHP, and I have yet to sit there and watch like one of the big conversations. So this might have already been covered. I assume it has. Number one, I don't understand like how frameworks work on this. Like, can I take a Laravel app? Will it use Blade to nope. give me a GUI?
You cannot. So this is what this is one of my main comments last week when Sarah and Holly and I were talking about this was there's all of the testing and all of the demos, and there's not that many as of last week. I haven't gone back and looked, but there's not that many. There's not that much out there. There's a lot more people talking about type PHP than there are people writing code in running type PHP. From what, as far as I can tell, maybe I'm just in a different silo. But my and one of the things that I pointed out was there's no web request here. This is definitely right. geared towards people running CLI stuff. So
that's what I was going to say. Yeah,
you're like immediately kind of like you're excluding. Now that doesn't mean to say that they couldn't build that web request and they couldn't do that with type PHP. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that that's not the focus, and the focus would be more long running processes. Which okay, fine. I also contend that maybe the people who are writing that kind of PHP aren't writing the kind of PHP me and most other PHP developers are writing. Like I say that about a lot of people on internals too, because when I see some of these RFCs and what they're wanting, the syntaxes and what they're trying to accomplish with these various RFCs and these projects like TypePHP, is they're trying to get a syntax that they want that will do the thing that they want, but I don't know that's the best way to solve that problem. Like if I was a developer writing that code, I would not solve it that way. And I don't see a lot of other people solving problems that way. So this immediately to me looks like the outlier, but at the same time, if there's gains to be had here, let's find those. Let's figure out what those are. Let's get them into the native PHP language, just like you had with HHVM and Hack and all these other things that come up and say, somebody goes and proves an idea in their own package in user land somewhere, or like a transpiler or a compiler or something like TypePHP, and you can go and do whatever you want and you just transpile it down to PHP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nuno even just says TypePHP isn't going anywhere until it works with Laravel and something the rest of the ecosystem. Yeah. Yeah, dozens of issues in just 20 minutes. Yeah. I think that there's potential there for sure. But I don't know if there's longevity in TypePHP. Maybe there is. Maybe with the backing of the Swole team that there is that longevity there. And we'll see. Maybe we're gonna get cool stuff out of it. But yeah, for me, I would love to have something that would make my queues and my schedulers run faster. Cause that's like the bane of my client work existence the past several months, is just trying to optimize queue jobs and that sort of stuff. So long running processes and improvements there could be something that if TypePHP can deliver that would make it a lot more attractive to me to look into.
Yeah. So we got Nuno in our Discord. I agree totally with him. Laravel, Symfony, even if it's a framework design for TypePHP, there needs to be something in place to make this simpler, right? Like I mean just PHP in general, right? Like the amount of people who are actually just writing PHP these days, like without a framework at all, that's going to be less and less. You know, everybody's got a framework, and yeah that interface, right? I mean
And if you want a specific syntax, which I think was part of the motivation for TypePHP, is them being able to do their own syntax choices and such. If you want to do that, transpiling is always an option too. Right. Chris Pitt was writing about that years ago, and he had some pretty elaborate transpiling going on in his projects that allowed him to write what didn't even look like PHP anymore. And mm-hmm. then he wrote the code how he wanted to write it, and then it just all transpiled down to PHP, so it ran everywhere PHP did. So, you know, there's that aspect of it too. If it's just a matter of oh, I want the syntax, or oh, I want this feature.
Mm-hmm. I'd be curious Sarah's opinion. She's being a little quiet out there, but yeah, there's certain things that I think come just a little too late to the PHP world, right? Like the JIT compiler. I was so jazzed about the JIT compiler when it first was like being discussed and slowly introduced, but then all of a sudden PHP itself just got all these crazy performance improvements. Like, so, okay, well, you know, why are we even going to bother with, you know, something like JIT? And then you add to it Swole or Octane or these other projects that are meant to run, multi-threaded. And it just like JIT just became less important. I'm not saying it's unimportant. Like it's just not. People like me, developers like me, I'm less excited about it. I'm kind of feeling that way about TypePHP. Like, yeah, there might be a niche for this somewhere in the PHP community, but it's not me and probably won't ever be me. I want to support them. I mean, I want to make sure.
Yeah, it's a cool project.
PHP gets everywhere. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a cool project.
Figure it out. You know,
yeah.
Okay. So it's not me. Like, I'm not really. I shouldn't feel like I'm missing the boat here or anything right now.
No, I wouldn't say so.
All right. Good. I think TypePHP is interesting. And let me just put that up there from A. Woods. That it's trying to push PHP's limit. Yep. That's exactly what I was basically thinking. It's like, yeah, I want to see PHP everywhere. Like, it's just such an approachable language. I think it's well established. It's proven that it can withstand the test of time. So seeing it continue to evolve, I'm perfectly okay with. I'm coming to the realization that I'm not going to use it every way it evolves like I used to think I would do. So,
well, on the Sarah aspect says, I'm here of it,
listening, but I also making up alternate Les Mis. What? Making up alternate Les Mis lyrics. I can only okay, you're worthless to me.
So on the aspect of TypePHP and then running like having code that runs everywhere, I think that's a weak statement for anything in the day and age where you can have a Docker container or a Podman container. True. And you can bundle your PHP app to where it is just, I mean, even better than the FAR. And FARs were fantastic, but FARs were a pain in the ass and or could be a pain in the ass. And bundling your command line utility written in PHP in a Docker container and people somebody can just use it natively by running your container image is incredible. That's kind of portability. Yeah. That kind of portability is so easy to get these days. So I feel like having something that is unique, having a runtime that is uniquely saying or solving a problem of this runtime will run anywhere, I think that's solving a solved problem. Maybe they need that for the feature set that they're building, which is totally fine. That makes sense. But that as a selling point is not a big selling point for me. And maybe that's just because I'm so familiar with the Docker and container orchestration that's second nature to me. So that's the tool that I if I needed something to run in multiple places, that's the tool I would reach for.
Yeah. Sarah, you're never worthless to me. You know that. I just lash out.
A. Woods just said we need a Raspberry Pi that runs PHP, but without the Pi branding. And there was somebody that's been posting to the PHP subreddit where they have PHP running natively on a microcontroller, which is pretty cool because you have to jump through some hoops to get PHP to run on a microcontroller. But being able to do that is really neat. I'll have to go dig up that link now.
Yeah. While you do that, I came across an interesting project today for my Laravel people out there. I know we're not all Laravel fans, and that's fine. You don't need to be. But somebody put together a project called the Laracon Archive.
I saw that today.
Started archiving all the Laravel Laracon conference talks. And it says it's not just US based, it's US, EU, online, AU,
yeah, all of them.
And India. Yeah. No, it's not all of them. There's so many now. It's but yeah.
Oh, is it not all of them? I thought it was all of them.
I know isn't there one it does have EU actually. Well there's Japan. Japan isn't on here. Maybe it is though. Maybe it is all of them. I don't know. But yeah, a nice little interface too. You break it down by year. Yeah, this is good. Cool, man. This is good work. As somebody who tries to manage conference talks and yeah, this is awesome. That's another thing. PHPTech.tv. Speaking of conference talks, I'm gonna pimp another product. PHP Tech TV, which our friend here. Let me log out just to see. I'll log out for a second.
Shouldn't we be showing there?
What's that?
Shouldn't we be showing on that page right now because we're live? Or is that not a thing anymore?
That's not a thing anymore. I got to fix that. That's a good point. I got to remember to go fix that. But we do have a bunch of free talks this year, including a free conference. I think we made like an entire conference free somewhere. I don't remember where. But yeah, lots of free talks on here. And then, of course, you can pay and get same thing with the magazine, right? If you pay for the latest year, you get the back catalog of everything we have in here as well. So, yeah, check it out. Lots of free talks. That's what I need. I need a filter here that just does free talks. That's what I need. I need to. Why didn't you think of that, Joe? Why didn't you do that?
It's been a minute since I worked on that site. I've been doing dependabot alerts for that project mostly.
What are you saying? Yeah. Yeah, this is a good one. Joe, I can make all yours free too, right? You'd be okay with that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. So, PHPTech.tv, for those that don't know about it, is out there for our conference talks. And I think that's all I had to talk about today, really. I don't know why John was so scared to come on and face me like the man he should be. Yes, not true. I'm making stuff up.
I just assume he's been super busy because he's been very quiet the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think he's been pretty tied up with the client work that he works on.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part. I'm not complaining about it. I was fortunate to stay hands on with development for a very long time. I do actually feel like I've started to fade away from that a little bit, and it's not a bad thing necessarily, but the way John and I built the company, where it was just like him and I just kind of bringing work in and doing more work until we needed to hire somebody, you know, he's probably doing work he shouldn't be doing anymore. You know what I mean? Like he really
somebody needs to pass off to somebody else.
Yeah. I think we're to the point where at the company where it's almost a hindrance for him to not be completely focused on the company, and be, you know, having to have like daily coding things that they need to get done. But that's my opinion, and I'll keep my opinions to myself. So if you ever see John, don't share any of that information with him. That's just something I think.
We've moved on to John Daniel review.
All right, look at that, 405, man. Joe, thanks.
Nailed it.
You got anything else you want to talk about? We don't have to jump off. I'm in no hurry, but
I'm good.
Cool, man. I got to do my new intros and stuff. I got new outros too, so I don't remember what that looks like, but we'll find out.
We're about to find out.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us next week. Same day, different time for the PHP Foundation inaugural podcast. If you already subscribe to the RSS feed or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts to the PHP Architect channel, you'll get the PHP Foundation podcast in that. But we won't have a separate PHP podcast that day. It'll just be the Foundation one. So, yeah. And I think that's it. You got anything else?
Nope.
All right. Talk to you all later. Bye. Say bye, Joe.
Bye.
This has been PHP Podcast, the official podcast of PHP Architect, the industry's leading tech magazine and publisher focused on PHP and web development. Subscribe today at phparch.com to see what the leaders in the community and industry are talking about.